Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Make it David at Delaware Park. You can enjoy daily fee golf, lunch, and sports wagering. DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, how does the Sixers-Hawks series end? Obviously, three choices here. A, Hawks win the night and they win it all in six. B, Hawks win in seven. Or C, the Sixers win in seven. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. James, you got that audio of my voice cracking last segment there? I mean, that was...
I got it. Do you want to hear it right now?
Yeah, let's give it a gander.
Sure, here we go.
Well, can, sure. Well, my voice is cracked. Well, can, sure. Well, my voice is cracked. Wait, one more time. Well, can, sure. Well, my voice is cracked. That's pretty rough. All right, let's welcome in our next guest. He's in studio with us. He's from the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, the boss here at WIP, and, of course, a huge 76ers fan. His voice has never cracked, although maybe it did in Game 5. Watching Ben Simmons play basketball. Mr. Spike Eskin, hello, Spike.
Oh, Joe and John, how are you?
Wonderful, buddy. How are you? I mean, this could be it. 48 minutes after this thing starts, could be the Enzo, Dunzo, and that was not supposed to be the way it was going to be. Spike, do you think the Sixers are going to win tonight?
I've been going over this question for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
I think if they can just get out in front and front run the whole game, I think they can win. I don't think they're in a position where they can't win.
Ironically, they've played bad as a front runner. The Hawks have come back three times in this series when the Sixers have been up pretty big.
I think that if they are tested early, they'll crumble. I think they look to me like a team that is really doubting themselves and unsure of themselves. Even Embiid, who I haven't seen that way before.
I agree with
you. But in the last 5 minutes, he looked tight to me.
So John thinks that was more fatigue, but I agree with you. While I think fatigue was part of it, Spike, he looked to me like a player. The moment got a little big for him, game five, fourth quarter.
It just was all crumbling
yep.
at once, and no one could stop the bleeding. And Tobias came up small, and Ben obviously came up small, even though he thinks he's Defensive Player of the Year, and Bede, who, yeah, I don't know. If you made me bet my house on it, which will be for sale if anyone is looking for a house in Delaware County, but if you made me bet my house on it, I would bet that they lose, but I don't feel okay. super strongly about
Better
it.
Better chance of a turnaround game tonight, Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris?
Oh, Tobias Harris.
No question.
This was always going to happen. It happens every playoffs.
Yep.
Every playoffs, they get to a team who has maybe watched him play and says, you know what, if we just stand in the lane, we can't really do anything. And this was always going to happen, whether it happened this round or the next round, or if they got unlucky in the first round and didn't face the worst defensive team in the playoffs in Washington. Somebody was going to say, hey, all we need to do is, in transition, if he's running, stand in the lane. Throw a couple of guys, stand in the lane, wall off the lane. You know, Mike O'Connor, who works for the Ricky, pointed this out to me, just stand in the lane. And then in the half court, you look at what John Collins does. He just stands 10 or 12 feet away from him. Ben doesn't do anything with his space, and it neutralizes him.
So it
has happened every year since he's been here. Every year. And he has not changed his game one iota. Every year. We get 3 weeks where he's good because the circumstances, you know, present themselves as such, whether it was that year where they won 16 in a row, but they basically played tanking teams for the last, you know, 3 weeks of the season, or you know, it just happens to work out that way. But every year he plays well for 3 weeks, different as we perceive for 3 weeks, and we say, oh, well, that's the Ben Simmons that it can be. It's not. That's Ben Simmons for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
This is the Ben Simmons that we end up with every single year in the playoffs, or every time they play a competent defensive team. This is what happened, and it's what's happening. It was always going to happen like this.
Joe insists that we're a better team than the Hawks. I thought that was the case when the series started, but then I look at guys like Bogdanovich and John Collins and Lou Williams when called upon, Gallinari, Herter. They're good. Are our role players better than their role players?
No. I think the biggest difference between the Sixers and the Hawks is that Embiid is the best player in the series. Mm-hmm. And every time in the NBA, if you have the best player in the series, most times you have an advantage. But beyond Embiid, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the Sixers are more filled out than the Hawks are. You know, if you get the Tobias Harris that you got for most of the season, you know, you could make that argument. And again, Embiid is such a game changer because when your best player is a center, you know, we've seen the troubles that they have offensively, but defensively, you're always going to be really, really good. And the Hawks are not good defensively. They're bad. They're borderline bad. It's closer than I thought it was.
Spike,
let's put it that way.
Did Doc Rivers blow it over the last 8 months with Ben Simmons? That Ben's not prepared for this and Doc didn't push him enough? Because that's the impression I get.
It's just, you could have 75 different coaches and you're always going to have the same guy. It's not high school. It's not college. It's not a place where you can berate a player or embarrass him publicly into doing this. The politics of the NBA don't work that way. And I'm not defending Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is and has been a fine coach, overrated by us, but the most overrated part of it is the accountability that he was going to provide. These players are, if you want to be the greatest in the world at what you do, you have to be accountable to yourself and your teammates. It can't be a fear of a coach. That works if you want to take a team like Tom Thibodeau did this year that was bad and make them pretty good with a bunch of role players who are fighting for their lives. Those players can be accountable to the coach because they're fighting for their lives. They need playing time. They want to earn a contract. Once you get to where you're making $35 million a year and you're making all-star games and defensive, you have to be accountable to yourself and to your teammates. This was never about Doc Rivers. It was about those players on that team. Joel Embiid didn't get better because of Doc Rivers. Joel Embiid got better because of himself. Tobias Harris didn't get better because of Doc Rivers. Maybe a minor schematic issue, but he worked on his game. It was never going to be because Ben respects Doc, or Ben doesn't seem to really respect anybody in a way that makes him want to perform for him, nor should he. It's not about Doc. I think Doc thought, again, not defending Doc. There are a lot of criticisms to be had, but when he's defending him publicly, I think he's doing whatever he can to try to get the most out of this guy.
Yeah.
Because the most out of him is one thing, but getting what we expected out of him is impossible. So that whole shooting thing, it's just not going to happen. And I think Doc looked and he said to himself, well, I'm not going to get that, so I got to do my best to get this. And to get that, you know, did he make a miscalculation on what to do publicly? I guess you could say that he did, but Brett Brown did the other thing. Brett Brown did the, I want to see him shoot, I want to see this, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, so what's the correct thing? I don't know. I hope that in the long term, this embarrassment for Ben Simmons, because this has been embarrassing. This is as embarrassing as any professional athlete as his level could be embarrassed. His coach took him out because they were scared of him touching the ball, right? Starting point guard, not allowed to touch the ball down the stretch. This is embarrassing for him. Hopefully, it affects him in a way that leads him to know that he needs to be better and needs to work on it. But
you'd
nothing
think
has.
That getting benched for T.J. McConnell a couple years ago would have that same effect, and it doesn't seem to have worked. Is Nate McMillan a better coach? Is he out-coaching Doc Rivers?
I don't know. He has – just the way the NBA works right now and what works offensively, Nate McMillan has way better tools than Doc does to be able to run this sort of thing. I think if you ask Doc, hey, would you love a point guard that can run pick and roll and shoot and hit their free throws like a grown-up professional basketball player, he would probably say yes. I guess you could say Nate McMillan's doing a better job, but I don't know. I tend to think with the NBA, it's mostly just the players.
Was George Hill a mistake?
Nah, it was the best available thing at the time. I don't think there was a better option. You know, they wanted too much for Lowry. George Hill's been fine. You know, my point with George Hill was always going to be they're going to need too much for him. That was what I want. That was my worry. My worry was that when it came down to it, they're going to be relying too much on a 35-year-old backup point guard that they just traded second round picks for who hasn't played in 3 months.
But he's given them nothing. It's been awful. Spike, the Ben thing, one more way I want to address this. If the Sixers lose this series, whether it's game six or game seven, you think Ben's out of here?
Yeah. I mean, I always thought he was out of here if they didn't reach the finals. Now the fear is that he has damaged his value in a way.
No question.
That
no question.
You thought, okay, well, the player we need, we can get with him. And I mentioned Zach Lowe from ESPN said, hey, Sixers fans should be a little worried.
Yep.
Let me remind them, the other general managers watch the playoffs too. And that's
who we
talked to.
Spike, what level? Like I said yesterday to James off the air, I said, what if it turns out Russell Westbrook? Now, I don't want Russell Westbrook. I don't want to be very clear. But I mean, this idea that I think that we've all had of like these high up guys. I mean, who does it like? What level guy does it come down to? It's not Bradley Beal. It's not Damian Lillard.
No.
Who is it?
So we were talking yesterday. I think you could probably talk yourself into CJ McCollum is a realistic sort of level player. If the Bulls don't want to pay Zach LaVine, I don't think they could get Zach LaVine for him, but maybe that sort of level of player. Malcolm Brogdon, maybe, you know, from Indiana, or all the players we talked about yesterday. Maybe, I don't know. It depends on that team has to want him.
I know.
And maybe if anybody can find a deal, it's Morey. Maybe it takes three teams. Maybe it takes four teams to get it done the right way. I don't know, man.
All right, last thing here, Spike. Yeah. Just big picture this moment. The process started in 2013. It was brutal in those years of tanking. It went on for basically 4 years, 3 years for sure, turned into a fourth year. Yeah, fourth year, but then after Embiid got hurt, it was like, all right, well, let's just pack it up for this year. This is the fourth year they've really tried to win. They haven't beaten a good playoff team yet. They haven't. They haven't beaten one team in the playoffs that's legitimate yet.
Mm-hmm.
They might lose the Atlanta Hawks
mm-hmm.
on the road in six.
Mm-hmm.
Sum up where they are.
It's like what's the highest DEFCON?
17, now 5, 4?
5?
I think it's 5.
5? Okay. It's DEFCON 5 now.
But it might go the other way, where like DEFCON 1, it's one of those
ones. Is the highest one? Yeah, I don't know. Is it like the Richter scale? So they have exhausted many of their resources.
Yep.
They have a star player who is as good as he's going to get in the next year or two. And unfortunately, they need the most important thing. I don't know that it's Embiid. I think that the most important thing is the guard. And they tried to get him. They tried to get Harden. You know, that almost trade showed you was that Morey knows what they need. He knows what they need. The real question is now, my biggest fear now, if you're asking me where they are, I'm afraid they might not be able to get the player that they need to get to make this work.
And let me throw one more in here, just because then this becomes the real thing. Do you envision a scenario a year or two now, whether Simmons is still here or not, where the guys they get back for Ben aren't good enough, that Joel says, can't do it anymore. I tried. My God, did I try. I was the flag bearer for the 76ers. I laid my body on the line. The first main guy supposed to run with me just wasn't up to it. Then they got me these other guys. They're just not that good. I'm out of here.
Of course. Well, so he's eligible for a Supermax extension now, which would start in 23-24 and pay him $42, $46, $48 million. I think they can offer it to him this summer. I think they can. It'd be interesting to see if they offer.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to see if he signs. And as we found out, the NBA, whether you sign a contract or not, doesn't really matter. If they don't, if they're still, you know, running in circles in the next year or two, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened with Embiid.
Unbelievable. Writes the Ricky Sanchez podcast, Mr. Spike Eskin. Thank you, Spike.
Thanks, fellas.
You kind of just depressed me. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, look, listen,
I said yesterday the sun will come up tomorrow. I even sang it on the air. I do think the Sixers are going to win tonight.
Sang is a loose term.
And then the sun will come up tomorrow.
Well, the sun will come up. The Sixers might just be out of the playoffs with the sun on, right?
Yep.
I do think it's possible. Let me give you, I know we're at the end of this.
Down in blue.
The positive scenario here is that if they do battle back, they are not the first, if they win this series,
yep,
they will not have been the first team in the history of the NBA to, you know, battle back from down 3-2 and win a title.
Correct.
If they are able to win tonight and then win on Sunday, it will mark a true dig deep, this is what championship-type teams are able to do. To bounce back from that would tell us as much positively as falling apart would show us negatively. So my positive thing, I think they can win, is if they're able to do it, this will be a major team-building moment for them. But you know, I'm not optimistic.
No, that helps. A little bit of hope. A little bit of hope.
Yeah. A little bit.
Only a little bit. A
little bit.
Thank you, Spike. There he is, Mr. Thanks, Spike Eskin. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Tom in Westchester right now. Hey, Tom.
Good day, gents.
Good day, Tom.
Here we are talking post-Ben, Joe. How about that?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. He's a stiff. And actually, Sledgemaster brought up a very good point, which you hopped on, saying, you know, the Sixers got to come tonight. Bow their neck.
Hold on.
You know,
Sledge Master?
The Sledge Master.
Wow.
It's pretty strong. I mean.
All right, I'll go one further for you, John. The Sledge Master General.
Wow.
Oh, buddy.
I might glom onto that. I might be a Hammer Master or something.
No,
be
you,
about you,
you,
Joe.
No,
I'll be,
no,
I'll be
no,
the master.
It has
I'll be
nothing
the,
to do with you.
I'll be
and
the
you
master.
Make it about you.
I'll be the master. The Master Hammer.
Yeah, Joe. Joe, what? You beat the hammer like nobody else. All right,
on,
I'll leave
man.
It there.
Come on, man.
And you hopped on it, Joey. You said six or seven game in 7 hours. You know, Joel and Tobias and Ben around having lunch and talking about games. You know what? Ben is in his hotel room checking Twitter, and Joel and Tobias are out strategizing about tonight's game because Ben doesn't care.
Mm.
Not only is he a stiff, he doesn't care. Think back, right? Run up to the playoffs, end of the regular season, everything's pro Sixers. Does Ben ever say, I just want to win a championship? No, Ben says, I'm the defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Me. He puts tweets out, they love me, they love me not, they love me, they love me not.
Yeah.
Come on. This guy.
Well, he's misguided and he's young. And unfortunately, he's at his athletic brilliance at a time when I think he's still very immature in many ways.
He had his athletic brilliance on the playground when he was the biggest kid there.
I know.
And he's laughing all the way to the bank.
But I will say, Tom, I think I'm just telling you, there are people, I believe, that are acting like Ben Simmons is a bad NBA player. And I don't agree with that. I really don't.
No, you're right. He's a really bad NBA.
No, see, that's why
he's not a bad NBA.
All right, Tom, we're trying to pump up Ben Simmons or yell at him or whatever, somehow to get the most out of him tonight. Who would you want to give the pep talk to Ben Simmons before tonight's game?
Easiest answer in the world. You had him on earlier. Coach Vermeil.
I thought about him.
Yep.
It's a good answer, Tom.
Super answer.
It's a really good answer. Let's go to Mike in Conshohocken. Mike, you're on WIP.
How's it going, boys?
Going well.
Now, before I get to the Sixers, I do want to talk competition because, you know, I don't think we're happy out here that Joe's getting a few, you know, cupcakes to beef up his record.
Cupcakes,
there,
dude.
I'm with you, Mike. Yeah, we're not happy either.
And Pizza Hammer, that guy beat me before. He's not a cupcake.
But, here's the deal, though. I want to talk competition because, you know, Coach Sirianni really talks about it. And that is, as I drive past the link here, thankfully and gloriously, the Carson banner's still up.
Listen,
here's the competition. Until another quarterback can come in and win a playoff game, I think the banner should remain up. How about that?
No. How about they should have kept the Super Bowl banner up? They should have kept that one up. But Carson's got to get down as fast as possible. That is a disgrace by the Eagles.
Carson's going to be great this year. Anyway, here's John, and you could probably get up to speed. Here's the only words I want to Atlanta fans to say after the game tonight, and that is, boy, and we thought General Sherman was a mofo. I mean, I want our team to go down there, and I think we're going to win. Why not?
Yeah. Well, you know? they have to. And yeah. I think you will see intensity that was lacking at times from some of these guys. I do question with the increased pressure if the guys who are afraid won't be afraid again. I mean, I think it's unlikely that a guy who was afraid to shoot in the last game will all of a sudden take it on, like the challenge. That would be surprising to me.
Exactly. I mean, if not, they should just donate their series check to charity. I mean, this was
It's been terrible. Mike, give me who should give the pep talk to Ben.
Have we said the baddest man on the planet yet? Mike Tyson?
Tyson. All right, I'm going to write it down. Mike Tyson. I don't know.
Ben, I'll punch you in the face if you don't play better.
Yeah,
Ben,
I'll punch you in the face. No, that's bad, Tyson.
I
started good, but then it got bad. All right, Richie, tough guy over there. You can laugh at me. Give me your Tyson impression.
I don't have one.
No, dig down and try. I try. Don't be a wuss. Give me a Tyson.
I don't even think I can try that. I mean,
No.
Mike Tyson's like impossible.
Yeah, it's easy to throw stones. Don't throw stones. Get in the ring.
It's easy to laugh when you tried something that I would never have attempted.
That was bad on me. Let's go to Charlie right now. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Charlie.
I don't really want to talk about the Sixers. They could be up 50 at halftime. I don't have any confidence that they're going to win. I actually have more confidence in the Phillies closing out a game than the Sixers do. And on that point, I wanted to speak about this, the Phils.
Yep.
I'll be honest. I think that they're – I've seen enough this year. They're a 500 team. I don't think I don't think there's anything that anyone could convince me otherwise. And, you know, I've accepted that. And the only thing I want to see this year is compete for a wild card and have a winning season. When was the last time they had a winning season?
Well, 2011 is the answer to that. And just to let you know, the wild card's really unlikely, Charlie. Because they're in such a bad division that this is sort of like the 2020 Eagles. I don't want to say their only chance to make the playoffs is to win the division, but it's far and away the most likely. There are three really good teams in the NL West, so the chances of the Phillies being a wild card team are incredibly slim.
And I agree with that. I don't think they'll actually make the playoffs, but I at least want to have a push. I want to have like a fun September. I mean, they usually always blow it in September, but at least be competitive in the last week. You know, I'm up in near New York, and I'm in Mets and Yankees town. And I'll be honest, like the Mets, I think the Mets are probably going to win a division, but their key players haven't even come up yet. Like they're getting production out of their backups. You know, it's not even like Alonso's doing well, but I'm having a absent mind on their second baseman, Lindor, but he's batting like .215. So I don't think that the Mets are necessarily that much of a threat, but they will win the division if this keeps going too and the Phillies don't make any changes.
I agree with you. Totally.
Yeah.
Charlie, who should give the pep talk to Ben?
So I actually have a little unorthodox of an answer. So you actually just hit the nail on the head. I think he is young and misguided. I think, and God rest his soul, I think Robin Williams and Good Will Hunting needs to sit down with Ben in the Boston Common and make him more humble. I think he needs to be humble.
Here's the problem.
It's not your fault, Ben.
But it is his fault. But it actually is his fault.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know if Robin Williams' message, but okay, I get it. You know, a great psychologist, smart guy, all that. All right, Charlie. Yeah. It's an interesting answer right there. But it is Ben's fault. Can't say it's not your fault. It is your fault. I mean, just is. 215-592-9494. And the outrage of that movie is Robin Williams absolutely should have gone to Game 6 of the 1975 World Series.
But he loved her, man.
And no, and he didn't know. He didn't really much know her at that
point.
But
he knew.
And told that girl, I'll see you, like, if we lose Game 6, I'll see you tomorrow night. If then Game 7 played, I'll see you in 2 days. I mean, there's a girl that called me up one time during the 1999 NCAA championship game of college basketball. Duke and UConn. And she was gorgeous. She was really a great-looking girl. She calls me up and this is the first time she ever called me, with 5 minutes to go between Duke and UConn. I was like, cool, but I got to roll.
This story is highly suspicious.
You've also told
roll.
Us this story
highly
before. I've heard this story before.
I will call you. You're right, James. I have told it because it's true, Richie. I'm not making this up. I said, thanks for the call. Call you back like after the game.
I believe someone called you.
Yeah.
But your description of that someone is what's highly suspect.
She was outstanding. Let me tell you. Yeah, Jetta Cameron, you. John Rich.
If she was,
it rhymes with mom, and it's mom.
My mom called me. Is that what you're saying? All right. Jetta Cameron, John Rich. Up ahead, your chance to win $1,000. She was real. Mm-hmm. And she was spectacular on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.